I'm Anna Horford, and you're listening to the Celtics Life podcast.
Hello and welcome into this week's episode of the Celtics Life podcast. What else could we be talking about but the injuries that are plaguing the seas? But we'll also break down the playoff implication and the rumors that are already starting to swirl for this summer's free agency and their connection to Boston. I'm Topher Lane alongside Mark Allison. Mark, how you feeling?
I'm feeling better than the Celtics are right now, man. Pretty banged up.
Yeah, you're dealing with your own injury, though.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, you're paralleling our team.
Injury. A day after Theis goes down, I tore my own meniscus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a season ender for me, though. I got to take a couple weeks off of bowling, but I'll be back out there.
Yeah, so Theis, you, one of our key contributors for Celtics Life, that's a tough injury. At least it wasn't like a hand injury, because that'd be harder to work with. We need your writing. We need your contributions.
And when I asked my doctor about, you know, what do I have to get surgery on this? And he laughed and said, "You're not a professional athlete." So there's that.
So as far as those surgeries have gone, we saw Theis had surgery. Marcus Smart had hand surgery to fix the ligament, I believe, in his hand. Obviously, you've got these other injuries. Jaylen Brown won't need any surgery of sorts. Concussion, you just to go through the protocol. But You and I were also talking about something you'd heard on the radio earlier about Kyrie Irving and his knee and what at least might be the cause for the soreness. This was all on Felger and Mez. I mean, you have to take it with a grain of salt, but like, what did you hear?
Yeah, so I was driving home from work. Now, coming at this, we're recording this on a Tuesday afternoon. A lot of you guys have probably listened to us Wednesday or Thursday. So maybe there's more details about this out then. But according to Tony Maserati and his sources, and granted, like you said, grain of salt, but they've been right about stuff like this before, so maybe, you know, not necessarily the worst source. So apparently, and I think this is common knowledge, that the soreness in Kyrie's knee goes back to the 2015 playoffs. It was LeBron's first year back with the Cavs, and he broke his kneecap in that series. What was it, against the Hawks, right?
I believe so.
Because the Hawks were, well, it was the Eastern Conference Finals, so it was before the finals that year, and he was out for the year. He got two screws put in, and apparently that is what's causing the discomfort that he has now, and it's why his knee flares up from time to time. Those screws have to get out. They're not, you don't want to leave those in there. The longer they stay in, the worse it is. I'm not really sure why this wouldn't have been addressed in like the off season. I wonder if it has something to do with the fact that last off season they were trying to trade him, and when you traded him to a new team, obviously this was discussed. I'm sure the Celtics saw this coming eventually. They probably thought he could get through the year and do this in the off season. It's not a major surgery to remove the screws, but the problem is, like, you know, it's obviously going to take him. It would sideline him for a few weeks. Now, what Tony Maserati was reporting that was new is that the Celtics have him going for a second opinion tomorrow, which would be Wednesday, or as soon as tomorrow anyways, to see if those screws need to come out now. And if that's the case, we're talking about Irving being down.
Yeah.
But that would end his season, I would imagine. That is the newsflash I just got driving home. Don't know how accurate that is, but I mean, should they decide to do that? Yeah, that would be it for this season.
So this makes me think about back when the rumors came out. I think it was in January that he had been threatening the Cavaliers front office to get knee surgery if they didn't trade him. And this makes it seem like that actually could be a possibility. I think a lot of Boston sports media disregarded that as just a rumor.
It sounds like maybe he did hold that over there.
And maybe, I mean, it's possible that he did, but maybe it's more that we just disregarded the fact that he was talking about knee surgery, that maybe we thought, I think I remember reading stuff that's like, well, he's not playing at a level that looks like he needs surgery. It doesn't seem like he's got any knee problems. I mean, he had some knee soreness, but it wasn't until February that he was missing games because of it. So now maybe it's more clear that he has needed this since last summer and he postponed it, and maybe it's finally just you know, it's coming to the front that he has to get this done. And the Celtics might just be out of luck as far as what's going on. Because, I mean, we played a great season up to this point, but a lot of it has been because we've been lucky with health. Gordon Hayward excluded from that.
But, right.
You know, how – and if he can't return, what is – I mean, Terry Rozier has done a damn good job filling his shoes as a backup. I mean, he's not a replacement, but he's a backup. You know, and he's been –
really, he's got a hell of a showcase.
So, I guess – is there any picture for the Celtics in the playoffs? I guess not in the playoffs, but like actually making a run in the playoffs without Kyrie Irving and obviously Gordon Hayward.
No, I think they could possibly win a first round matchup depending on who that was, right? But when you're talking about Smart wouldn't be back for that first round matchup. Obviously, no Hayward, no Kyrie. I mean, look. I think at that point you're punting, right? You're not even going to bother rushing Smart back. You're definitely not rushing Hayward back. so if that is the case, then, you know, then that's it. We'll see you next year.
I think, and I've talked about this a bunch of times, and especially right after Gordon Hayward went down, I said that eliminates the pressure on the Celtics to contend this year. And that I thought was true for the first two games. And then we went on that 16-game winning streak, and the pressure was back on. Kyrie was playing well. Tatum was playing extremely well for his level. And this Celtics team was exceeding all the expectations without Gordon Hayward. I think not necessarily a contention or a belief that we were going to contend for the championship this year, but at least that we were going to make a huge splash and maybe make it to the finals, possibly. I think that pressure is back on, but maybe if Kyrie can't come back, Again, it's off. Like, we're just, like, kind of putting this on and off the stove. Like, I don't know what's going on. But,
yeah, and that kind of sucks because, I mean, even without Hayward, it's definitely plausible that they could have came out of the Eastern Conference if everybody else is relatively healthy, right? Obviously, Toronto's playing the best, you know, their best basketball right now. But Cleveland's definitely vulnerable. Obviously, they'll be a little bit better when Kevin Love gets back. But they're pretty much a mess. And you know, what other team really scares you, you know? Washington doesn't scare me. Well, at least not if we're healthy, right? But we're talking no Kyrie, and we certainly won't beat Toronto without him. That's for sure.
Well, I think Kevin Love is coming back today.
Is that right? I didn't even realize it was that soon.
Or last night, actually. I think he came back.
Did he play last night? Scored
18 points, I think. So, yeah, he had a pretty good game. And they won, you know?
There you go. I mean, he's going to take care of a lot of, you know, he's basically de facto, he's going to be their second scorer, right? Their best rebounder, their inside guy. I mean, he fills a lot of holes that they, you know, at least they can get their offense back to what they like.
Yeah, I mean, they've been floundering since the trade deadline. They had a good stretch for like the immediate games afterwards, but then have fallen off hard since then. And they're, I mean, out of second place, the Celtics basically have a lock. We've got a 6-game advantage on the Cavs for third,
right,
with, you know, only, what are we at? We're at 70 games. We got 12 games left. We're to win, you know, 500 ball for the next 12 games. Against, I mean, yeah, we got some tough teams coming up, but like the C's are basically locked for the 2 seed. And obviously, I mean, the Cavs aren't going to win all 12. They have to then win them all, right?
Right. And we still have a couple matchups with Toronto, but you wonder, Toronto being ahead by so much, and when it gets to that too, I guess obviously it'll depend on where that lead is, but, you know, are they going to be resting guys or what? Or you know, or are they going to try to mash us just to make an example out of us anyways, right?
Well, so let's put that – the Felger and Maz stuff aside and say Kyrie comes back with the return of Jaylen Brown, who's coming back sometime in the next week or so, I would assume.
Yeah, let's say they're both back like sometime next week, right?
Does that get the Celtics back on track? I mean, I wouldn't say that we've been really – I mean, we had that tough game against the Wizards where it went to double overtime, which honestly was lost on a single defensive possession at the buzzer in the fourth quarter where Marcus Morris went to defend a layup. And not left a wide open guy on the corner. But yeah, I was really impressed with that showing. So like, I wouldn't say that the Seas are like really struggling really hard without Kyrie and Jaylen. I mean, obviously a bit of a miss from the lineup for sure. But does this get us back on track to the point where we're not getting blown out by the Pelicans?
Well, if you want to look at it glass half full anyways, these guys playing these big, huge roles, especially with Rozier, like we've seen him since he's been playing expanded minutes since Smart hurt his hand the first time. He's been a force. He's doing everything on the court. And then when he moves back into that role, I mean, you know, he's gained all this experience, all this confidence. So you're looking at like a boost to your bench unit like from within, right? He's playing, you know, great right now. Smart was playing great until he got hurt this last time too. He had like one of his best games of his career. He was, you know, a man on a mission since he came back after breaking his hand or cutting his lacerating his hand, whatever, on his own, you know? So I think that like when your bench is getting like those guys instead of those guys, you know, it's huge, especially when the roster like slims down a little. I know we know that Brad plays pretty deep, but playoffs come still, he's going to stick with the guys. Like if Kyrie's healthy, he was saying he's limited his minutes to about 30 minutes a game. And he'll be playing a lot more. You know, he'll be playing some close to 40-minute games if we get to the playoffs, as long as his knee's good. So, I mean,
do you consider resting Kyrie for the rest of the year? I mean, like, or most of the rest of the year?
You mean the regular season?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if his knee is – if he can play on it, it's not going to do any damage, and they're going to play him in the playoffs. I mean, you know, I think he's definitely going to sit, you know, sometime anyways, right? Or – less minutes, right? You want him firing all cylinders when you get in there. So if it takes a couple weeks to let his knee, you know, come down and then he can ramp it up again, then, hey, cool with me. Take the time off. Like you said, we have such a cushion right now for the two seed. You know, it's not going to hurt us, and we're certainly not going to catch Toronto with all these injuries.
And keep Rozier rolling. You know, I mean, he's done such a great job as a starter. Let him keep going.
The problem is that you run into is though with Smart out too, that we're missing two point guards there. So you know, you're gonna lead heavy on Shane Larkin, which I mean he's been playing pretty well himself. So, but you know, not ideal, obviously.
I think the only guy that I think has been playing poorly is Nader. I think he's the only one who I think is not pulling his weight.
Those four free throws that he missed in a row at that Pelicans game. And that was the turning point in the game, down six. And then he missed four, got fouled on that three-pointer, flagrant fouled on that three-pointer, and missed all four three throws.
Yep.
And that was all she wrote. But you could feel the energy sucked out of the Celtics right from that.
Yep.
So I don't know what it is with him, man. It's something, I don't know if it's the pressure, playing – worried about getting yanked. I don't know what it is, but he doesn't.
The James Young syndrome.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. D-League killer.
The James Young. Yeah, it affects the players who have so much potential, and then, you know, they destroy in the G League. And then
I mean, like, he killed in the G League, but, I mean, Nader didn't have the expectations on him that James Young did.
True.
You know, it's not like he was a first-round pick, and yet still, you know. It's too bad because he's a dynamic guy. He's a long dude. He can shoot. He can drive. He's a pretty good defender. So it's too bad he can't really get it together.
Yeah, because that's the thing, right? Nader wouldn't be seeing any minutes without these injuries. I mean, some, like, mostly garbage time. Smart, and we'll look at this glass half full, as you said a little earlier. Smart is 6 to 8 weeks, and we are 4 weeks from the playoffs. First round will be without Marcus Smart.
Yeah, so you'd be looking at like maybe the middle of the second round if he was, you know, if he was best case scenario, right?
Yeah, so first round right now would be against the Heat.
Okay.
How crucial is Marcus Smart to that matchup?
Marcus Smart's crucial to any matchup, but
well, arguably, yeah, but I mean, like, how, you know, can we win a series?
I think they can beat the Heat without him if Kyrie's healthy, right?
Yeah, you say that, but Kelly Olynyk went off, man. He had like 30 points the other night.
You know what, though? That guy does not scare me. And you know why? Because we've seen him for years.
Have you ever stood next to him?
Playing good. He's playing good.
Playoff Kelly Olynyk. Playoff Kelly Olynyk is a scary
guy. Yeah, that's true. He did his last game here. He did light it up, but not his last game. But I don't know. Something about Kelly Olynyk just doesn't really
I'm going to read you a stat line from last night's game. 30 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 blocks. Shot just under 69% from the field. Dude's a monster.
Is that Anthony Davis?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm reading Anthony Davis' stats. I'm Kelly Olynyk. Yeah. They're the same guy.
That's wild. Yeah, well,
look at these highlights.
I'm feeling good about Al locking him up, though. He knows how he plays.
Yeah, I mean, you say that, but the last time, every like returning Celtic has done really well against the Seas this season. With the exception of like Amir Johnson.
It's time for that to end.
So, all right. So, what's your prediction for that matchup then? 6 games, 5 games?
So obviously, I think if we don't have Smart, if Kyrie's fine, then yeah, I think we still beat them in, I'd say 6 games, right? Maybe it's more difficult. I don't think they would take us to 7.
I would agree, barring any like catastrophe or something. Yeah.
Right. So, I just don't think they're a bad matchup for us. And what would their second round look like as of right now? What are we looking at?
We would be looking at the Cavs or the Sixers, depending on who picks that matchup.
So we need the Cavs to slide down a little bit more so we can get Washington, right? Or
it's possible that Indiana moves up, and Indiana's had a number this year.
That would be a series that I would really like to see Marcus Smart in too.
The middle of the East from 3 down, 3 all the way to 8, it's separated by 4 games.
Right.
So it's just kind of this mess. So like this could change drastically. You know, like the Bucks could slide into 7, we could play them first round. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the Sixers could slide into the 4-5 matchup. The Cavs could drop down to 4, and then we play the Pacers, the Wizards. Yeah, you know, it's a mess. And like obviously we won't know until like a week before the playoffs. More concrete picture. But
and even then we might not know.
maybe we just have to wait till the buzzer to the final game. But yeah, I mean just right now the Heat I think are doable. The Bucks I think also would be a 6-game team. You know, I'm not scared of like the rest of their lineup outside of Giannis.
Yeah, I mean you kind of just have to deal with him. He's going to do what he does and just kind of shut everybody else down.
Ooh, how did it? Do you think the Cavs fall off because of Tyronn Lue? We should have talked about that. Tyronn Lue taking a step away because of medical issues. He's going to take a break from coaching for a little bit to get back on track. Says that he plans on coaching still this season. But if that's weeks, do you think that slows down the Cavs at all? Do you think that their replacement for him keeps him chugging, or how do you think that works?
Do you actually think he's coaching the Cavs?
I think that honestly he took the break so that he could just like work on plays. Like he just doesn't have enough time in 30-second timeouts to draw plays. So right now he's just like he's sitting at home just drawing all these ones that he likes.
I think he's just on the verge of a nervous breakdown from dealing with LeBron all year. I mean, I don't know. It's when you see a player, how many times have we seen them this year? Go at it, or LeBron like to belittle him in front of. I don't know, man. That cannot be a healthy working environment, right?
People say that
you're supposed to be in charge. Can you picture like Kyrie Irving like just dead up getting up and screaming at Brad Stevens in front of everybody? I can't.
No, but that's a different locker room. That's a different
basketball. Sure, I guess, but I mean, I don't know, man. I don't see anything changing in terms of, you know, what's going to go on the court. They're still going to play the same game. If they get it together, it'll be because Kevin Love came back. I don't think it'll have anything to do with the coach.
People say that players need rest. Nobody says the coaches need rest. Yeah. You know,
remember when
Tyronn Lue needs a break.
Phil Jackson, remember he used to not do, he used to just do the home games. And then who was it? Was it Luke Walton or was it actually? I think it was both. I think it was Luke Walton when he was the Lakers, and then it was what's his name? His backup of the Knicks. He ended up being Kurt Rambis. They would coach the games for him, and he like the away games. Remember this? I'm not making this up.
No, I don't.
He did it a little bit with the Lakers too, where his assistant coach would be the coach for like away games. Like period of time, and they would just deal with it because it's like, all right, as long as we got filled with the playoffs, we'll be good.
That's also a system thing, right? I mean, that's where I'm so low, and I've talked about it in this podcast so many times how low I am on Tyronn Lue as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
But like, he doesn't have a system in place that like makes the Cavaliers successful. Whereas, like, I think that the Warriors in like the 23 game absence of Steve Kerr to open up the 2020. Yeah, I mean, there was a system that he had in place of like just a really infectious system of passing and moving the ball and all the stuff that the players subscribed to.
Even last year with Mike Brown, right? Yeah, it's
yeah, and so I think that the absence of Lou is different in a sense because now they don't have anything to fall back to or to revert to. I don't think. Not that necessarily he was doing a huge job, but the thing I was talking to my friend about, I was like, it's just going to be LeBron calling ISOs now. He's going to bring a whiteboard out with him to the court. He's going to like wear it on his jersey, just basically like put all the X's and O's on the other side, and then just a big L for LeBron on the left.
He may not be able to officially be player coach, but we know what's going on over there.
I guess, do you think that ball, they're only half game out of fourth, right? They've got like a small lead over the Pacers.
Yeah, I mean, if they got Love back now, I didn't even realize he came back yesterday. If that's the case, I mean, they'll probably end up with that three seed, I would assume. They're a better team than the other ones, but it'd be really cool if they didn't. we want them to land in the 4-5, right?
Then we wouldn't play them.
I mean, I'd rather avoid them. I'd rather play any of those other teams. I mean, the one team I really don't want to play is Toronto, but obviously you'd have to go through them at some point, barring some upset. But I'd prefer to stay away from LeBron and let them play Toronto first, and then you only have to play one of those two teams.
Yeah.
I'll take the Pacers, even if they are a tough matchup. I'd take the Pacers or the Washington, whatever. I'd take either one of those over them.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that the Sixers could knock off the Cavs first round?
I think it'll be a pretty cool matchup. And then how about what if LeBron jumped ship in the offseason and went to Philly after they beat him?
To Philly. Everyone
will be on his shit after that.
I would love these standings to stay the same right now because I'd love to see all these like fun. Because the Bucks want revenge on the Raptors from last year's playoffs.
Right.
The Heat Celtics is like kind of a rivalry division if you want. If like it's like
Kelly, I think that's bad blood.
Yeah, I think that's honestly the least compelling of the playoff matchups. Then you have the Pacers Wizards.
It really is. Yeah, I mean, they used to hate each other.
Yeah. But then you got the Pacers Wizards, which is going to be a really fun matchup. Sixers Cavs. Like, in Philly, there's going to be billboards, like all the stuff going on.
Yes,
they've got billboards in Cleveland right now. They're trying to sell LeBron and going on Philly.
I would love that. Yeah.
Great.
I think that's the best way to line it up.
Complete the process. It'd be great. There's so much potential for this playoff. I will have to say, I know we're just jumping all over the place, but to go back to that injury stuff, Golden State similarly is also like they've got four of their all stars all of their all stars are all benched right now with injuries.
Yeah,
all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And. You know, they're looking the most vulnerable that they have in.
Yeah, especially since they have like a team in their conference that looks like that Rockets team looks like they could beat them straight up. Never mind. You know, so
this is like the first time that the Warriors have been in second place in the West since they like got this team together, since like Steph Curry.
And you know what? That goes seven games. You know, that could be huge.
Yeah.
If they end up in the conference finals, like everyone would envision, that could be really huge. Game seven at home, James Harden, like I wouldn't want to play him in Houston, game seven.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty wild.
They got home court, right? So that's
huge. This is the most excited I've been about the playoffs for a while. So
I know, because Portland is looking really good. Portland's on a 14-game win streak or 13-game win streak. You got the Thunder that are kind of surging there at six straight. The Jazz are at nine straight. It's like every team in the West is killing it besides the Warriors. And the Timberwolves have dropped off a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's there's a lot of fun stuff going on, man. It's a good year to be a basketball fan.
Definitely.
Casual shout out to SU basketball. Got to drop that really quick. As I say, basketball fan. We had our
NCAA lesson. Doing the damn thing.
We're doing the thing. We're doing it. Miles Bridges is going to be a Celtic next year, though. I promise.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know how that's even possible. I'm just saying it. Playoffs. We've got that matchup, and now we're going to look at kind of the glass half empty, the other side of this. So Smart, we're hoping for an optimistic return at like 6 weeks. That's middle. If he takes the eight, the latter end of his recovery, second round, he's not even there. Right. Now, unless the first round goes to seven, the second round goes to seven, maybe he comes back in the end of the seventh, like the end of that series. Is there a way to go without Smart? Let's say that Kyrie is healthy, and that's fine. Is there a way to get through the second round without Smart against a team like the Cavs or the Sixers?
I mean, it's possible, but certainly, that's. I mean, obviously, I'd rather play the Sixers than the Cavs if that was the case. But I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't be easy, that's for sure. If LeBron's full tilt, LeBron, I mean, they're bad news for anybody. So
yeah,
I don't know. Granted, Marcus makes a big difference, but I mean, it's not like he would be the one guarding LeBron anyway.
Well, that's what I mean. Neither of the teams have anybody like scary at the one or two, you know?
Yeah, I mean, right. It's unless Markel Fultz is back playing and actually looks like he can play basketball.
Even then, you're not going to get a rookie who's going to immediately make a playoff.
No.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen. I mean, I guess Ben Simmons is the one that'd be scary on the Sixers.
Right, and again, he's not going to be Marcus Smart's. We know Marcus Smart can play pretty much against anybody on defense, but at the same time, that would more be Jalen Brown or Jason Tatum guarding him.
Yeah, and both of those guys have stepped on defense. I mean, Jalen was on LeBron during last year's Eastern Conference Finals. He did a pretty good job. He's improved on defense since then. You know, I mean, the Celtics, they could do some stuff. We're talking without Smart. I think without Kyrie, we could still get through the Heat, I think. You know, I think that's an equivalent team to Terry Rozier leading the Celtics as point guard.
What about this? Hey, I got one for you. I saw somebody tweet this, so I can't take full credit for it, but I didn't think it's. What about letting like Marcus Smart play with a club on his like hand, right? Then you don't have to worry about his erratic shooting, and he's still in there like a menace.
You just let him wear like a cast. Just let him play.
Exactly. Right. I picture like old like WWF like Owen Hart with the cast on, hitting people like when nobody's looking, like knocking people out. I think it'd be great.
I wonder what the feasibility of that would be. Do they like?
Like the NFL lets guys play, like cornerbacks can play with like their hand in the cast.
Yeah, and you get like Shohei Ohtani, right? He's got that like crazy hand thing on, so he doesn't hurt his hand when he's running the bases and stuff. Yeah. And like even batters like have like a piece of wood sometimes. The feasibility of like, can he dribble with just one hand? Like what would, I guess just don't let him ball handle ever.
Yeah, that's it. He doesn't, he can dribble with one hand, right? And then just,
Yeah, but that's the easiest steal ever for any other team.
Listen, not with Marcus Smart. Maybe you just have him out there.
You underestimate Marcus Smart.
You figure it out. You figure it out.
Yeah, you're the one who has the Smart jersey, right? You're the huge Marcus fan.
Yes.
Yes, that's me. Yeah. That's me. I'm high on him, but I'd be interested to see it happen. And what's the worst that could happen, you know? If he's got the cast on.
And you could take a couple guys out, you know? I mean, even if you know, you just put him in there to lay somebody out with it. Some old school wrestling style. You know, with the metal in there or something, just clocking people. I don't know, I think it's just an idea, okay?
Can we do that with Gordon? Can we do that with Hayward? Can we, like, just wrap an ankle?
Put it on his leg? Put it on his leg?
Just like amputate? I don't know what. Just like a lot of.
I don't think that's a good idea at all.
I don't know.
Although they've been raving about how good he is at shooting in a chair, so maybe you just put him in the corner.
Exactly. Yeah, no,
He still draws the defender. He just sits there. And then, you could move him around too.
Just like, could put him on a chair on wheels. He's got the other leg.
And when you're on,
like an office chair, just kind of slide around. Brad Stevens said that he's really good at hitting shots without jumping, right? And hitting from the chair.
He did shots.
You know what? He just doesn't have to jump. Fine. Or I guess we can just wrap it. I don't know if it's doable.
Just shuffle up and down the floor.
Yeah, just that. That's what Nader can do. Nader can just push him around in the chair.
And if we've got Marcus out there on defense with the club on his hand, we only need four defenders, so he can just really just stay up the other end of the field and then
cherry pick the entire game.
Yeah,
won't be able to run that alley oop play. Do you think he ever runs that again?
I don't think he wants to. They should do it the first play.
That's the thing is he did.
Just to get the you know kinks out right away. Just you know, go.
He goes 0-100. Just go straight for it. It's the only way to do it. Finally, we'll close out with on Twitter, Isaiah Thomas did a Ask Me Anything Ken deal. Some dude said, "Would you ever consider going back to Boston?" He said, "Hey, anything can happen." What are your thoughts on the King of the Fourth coming back to Boston? If is that even something you care about even would consider?
I think when you're in Isaiah's situation that he's in now, you don't rule out anybody, right? Look, if anybody wants to pay me, I'll take
it. He's doing all right in LA.
No, don't get me wrong. He's doing good with LA. But do you really think he's going to get more than, if he's going to get big money, it's going to be like a 1-year deal for, that.
Well, I definitely don't think he's going to get good money. I think that he's unfortunate, and it sucks because I really like him. I think he's a great guy.
It does suck. Yeah, it sucks. And but what do you think? What kind of deal do you think he gets? I wish Captain Cap was here right now with us because he could probably narrow this down better.
Yeah, I was talking to Justin about it, right? And I was convinced that he would have a negotiating fee of sorts to even talk to Boston because he's so mad at Danny Ainge. I just imagine he just wouldn't be interested in, if anything, it would cost us more money to sign Isaiah than any other team because he would just ask for
more. You think so? Oh, see, I don't think so. I think he would love to come back. But the problem is he's gonna want to start somewhere. He's not gonna want to be, the sixth man, you know? Mm-hmm. So, obviously, I don't think he could come back here and play behind Kyrie after getting traded for him.
Yeah. No, that's reasonable. But
now, let's say Kyrie's knee issue was something serious and he was going to miss most of next year or something like that. Then you see in him, maybe, you know. But I couldn't see him coming back here to back up the guy.
Yeah, no. I don't think there's a scenario that it would exist.
End up with that role.
I don't think there's a scenario that it could exist. But it's an interesting concept. And I'd love for my Isaiah jersey to be relevant again. Because I literally didn't get to wear it for a single Celtics game that he played in. Unless you count, I never got to wear. No, because he didn't play game one.
That's right.
I was talking to my friend about it last night. He's got a jersey curse too. This guy that I met at work, and he was saying that. I was explaining that I got a Jay Crowder jersey. My dad got it for me. I thought that it broke the curse. Then I buy the Isaiah one. 4 days later, Jay Crowder and Isaiah get traded. I was like, God, I had to do it to myself. I should have seen it coming. I should have. I'm pretty sure you guys wore me, too.
I didn't want you to get the Jason Tatum jersey, but what did you do? You went and got it. So far,
well,
so good.
Well, that one is a knockoff, so I think that's the key. And if I buy it from NBA.com, then they know.
So, big game tonight. If you guys are probably listening to this tomorrow, so the game already happened, but I guarantee Russell Westbrook goes he's going for, his third straight six-game triple-double streak, something ridiculous. He's going to stuff the stat sheet against us.
That game to watch for.
Short-handed. I can't even imagine.
Then Portland.
Then we got Portland.
Yeah.
And then Sacramento. So, you know, it's going to be a tough three-game stretch here, short-handed.
Sacramento
so.
Should be all right. I don't mind them. They're still a bet, right?
Yeah, no. But on the road, two games out the West Coast there. You know. Hopefully we get some bodies back soon.
And the Trailblazers are looking nasty, man. They're a good-looking team.
Yeah, man.
Dame has been just lighting it up. So.
Yeah. He's finally getting his credit, too. He's a
Watch player. Next year. He still doesn't get an all-star bid. Somehow Dame Lillard doesn't get it. I don't know how it's possible, but it's happened every year. He's been deserving of an all-star bid. Doesn't get it. So. Well, check out the links at the top of CelticsLife.com where we have a huge variety of shirts and hoodies in our store, and you can even get tickets to the next game under that heading.
You can find the pod on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and most podcatcher apps. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, be sure to rate us 5 stars. If you don't like something or have a suggestion, make sure to let us know in the comment of any Celtics Life article or on Twitter with the hashtag CLPod. We're always trying to make the pod great for you guys.
And we enjoy it. We had a good time. We had fun. We had a fun pod this time. We were laughing. We had jokes.
I had a great
time. All right. Anything else you want to hit on, man?
I'm good, man. Peace out, everybody.
Cool. Thanks for listening, guys.